I just will show you on these notes, these things were repeated over and over and over, probably hundreds of times in the Word, which shows how real it is. It's not a little topic. You can't find that many descriptions of most everything that's in the Word. We're not going to go over all. I just want to lay a pretty good foundation in this. Isaiah 65:7. Start with 6. Behold, it is written before me, I will not be silent except I repay. Yea, I will return to their bosom your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says the Lord. They that burned, let's say this right, incense on the mountain and have blasphemed me on the hills. And I will return their former work into their bosom, says the Lord. As the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it, so I will do for the sake of my servants, not to destroy the whole. And the Lord is saying here, this iniquity that was in you and in your fathers will have to be paid for. And God would destroy everything because of this iniquity if it wasn't for those who were calling on the name of the Lord. And because there were those who were calling on the name of the Lord, and because of God's great love for us, he stopped iniquity so that a remnant could enter back into the kingdom. Okay, so are you getting a bigger picture? Sin just seemed like a smaller thing. And doesn't iniquity seem like everything that's flowing in you until you bring Christ to it? You see what I'm saying? But Jesus Christ says he was bruised for it. He paid the price to take it. He became one with it so he could set us free from it. And it really is a slap in his face to want to continue in the kingdom of darkness, to want iniquity. Now, I don't think there's many people in here who want it. I think there's people in here who've tried to get out of it and they just didn't know how. And I'm just encouraging you, don't give up. Just keep disagreeing with ownership of it. Just keep disagreeing until it bows its knee to Christ. Keep reading the books you need to read. Listen to the tapes. Come into the groups. Whatever you have to do to not want to not become one with this. All right. I'm just going to give you something real quick. Exodus 34:7-9. It's about forgiving the iniquities. Let's look at that one. That looks like a good one. Exodus 34:7-9. See, when God sets things in motion, even though our brain says, well, that doesn't seem right, it really doesn't have anything to do with our brain. What God has set into motion, why did God set into motion that what was coming down the line was coming down the line? Because it was supposed to be blessing. But then Satan got in and brought his junk into it, and it didn't change the laws that were set up to keep God's people blessed and seeking after the Lord with all their heart. Exodus 34:7-9, go through 6. And Jehovah passed by before his face and called out, Jehovah, Jehovah God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, great in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and not leaving entirely unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the sons and on the sons of sons to the third and the fourth generation. And Moses hurried and bowed to the earth and worshipped. And he said, if I now have found favor in your eyes, O Lord, please let my Lord go in our midst. For it is a stiff-necked people, and you forgive our iniquity and our sin, and take us up as a possession. And he said, behold, I am cutting a covenant. I will do wonderful things before all your people, which have not been done in all the earth among all the nations. And all the people in whose midst you are shall see the work of the Lord, for that which I am about to do is awesome. Take heed for yourself what I am commanding you today. Behold, I'm about to drive out from before you the face of, and then it's all the enemies. Take heed to yourself that you not cut a covenant with the people of the land to which you're going in, that it not be a snare in your midst. Now, let me tell you this. What the Lord is saying is when you find his favor and you get salvation, he is telling you now. It's almost like he's excited. He is excited. He goes, now you're mine. Now I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to do these great things for you. Now make sure, now that you know me, now that I'm taking care of you, that you do not again come into a covenant, which is an agreement, with the enemy. that you don't come into a covenant with secrecy, that you don't come into a covenant with self-pity, that you don't come into a covenant with self-rejection. You don't come into a covenant with sickness. Do you see what I'm saying? That you don't come in agreement with the enemy. Because where you have an agreement with the enemy, that you get to have that thing. A covenant is being one with. He's warning. Satan's going to try to trick you and deceive you and cause you to be one with evil. He's going to make you feel justified in it. He's going to make you feel like, you know, you're the one who has to. And it's no, no. I'll obey God even if I don't understand. I'll do what his word says even when it doesn't seem to feel right. I'll keep going after him with all my heart, even when Satan's trying to destroy me with iniquity. Can you kind of see this is a real battle? And God's asking you, once you know him, to not agree with the enemy. And the tape, agreeing with the Son, is powerful for this. There's something in our spirits I think the Lord's stirring up. It's just like this bigger picture of this iniquity, of this, that is not just this little sin thing, but it's this awesome system of evil that Satan has flowing through all mankind. And we're born into iniquity, David says. And Christ came to snatch us out of it. But he's saying, if I snatch you out of it, don't look back and want to go back into it. Because whatever you choose, you get. I do believe that people truly can get completely free the minute they accept Christ. I just believe most of us don't really know that we're being snatched out of something so horrible. I think we need to get the revelation that I don't want anything to do with that filthy, filthy flow of iniquity. That I don't care how it tries to look pretty or how it tries to look innocent or how it tries to look cute. It's all a filthy, filthy flow of Satan. And you know where that river goes? That thing's going to take you right to hell. You know, when I see the Lord blocking it, I don't think it's anymore. He's blocking it. What he does is he blocks it, and the ones who keep going with that flow go that way. He's made a way out of it. With his blocking it, he's made a way out of it. But when you come out of it, you can't bring the junk with you. And then you're going towards heaven while they're going quickly towards hell. And his way out of it is very narrow. It's not the broad way. It's not that way that's so big. I could get into. Do you know stubbornness is iniquity? And we're going to get into all this tonight. I know it's getting late. Tonight I think we need to pray and just really ask the Holy Spirit to help us to hate iniquity. And bind up any iniquity that's jumping around that's really upset because its whole kingdom's being exposed. Do you know what I'm saying? We're going to find what iniquity, what really flow Satan still has you just floundering around in. And we're gonna do a rescue mission next week. We're all going to actually jump in the boat that God has for us to get out of that flow together. You're going to help each other. You're going to sit there and say, man, you know, I thought that this was okay to be like this. But now I see it's not. I see it keeps me bound in there. Okay? And I want you, I'm going to study some of these scriptures. I'm going to find some of the, like I said, I found stubbornness. I found sickness. I found dry bones. Mischief. I want to look up mischief because mischief leads to iniquity. I think sometimes our playing around or just kidding around, we don't realize it's a trap of the enemy to take us into iniquity. I want to look up mischief real fast. Because I think sometimes Satan does things in our life. It's almost like sometimes we were so bound in such sadness and hurt and things that Satan then offers something that seems good, like mischief, and doesn't seem so bad. But what you got to realize when the word says it connects you back with iniquity, you need to hate it. Let's see what it actually says it is. He does. Okay. Mischief. Ooh. Yeah, people say, oh, that's just mischief, or they're just into mischief. Listen to how bad mischief is. Harm, to hurt, to injure, to damage, evil, whether intended or not. The author of harm or injury, annoyance, to be in mischief, to be doing something which causes annoyance or harm to another. To make mischief, to start a quarrel, to falsely report anything as to one's reputation. to cause misunderstanding and confusion. Mischief is an injury which disturbs the order and consistency of things. One who makes quarrels or they instigate trouble, inclined to do pranks, prankish, can be spiteful, to vex, to annoy. I think sometimes it gets confused with, I really do think it's a spirit. I think sometimes people get it confused with having a good time, and they don't realize it's such a spirit. When you read that, what looks like a prank, what looks like fun, what looks like a good time, what other people even just kind of smile about or whatever, if this is the spirit behind it, it's being sent to take you back into iniquity, but it's also being sent to set you up to really harm somebody, to injure somebody, or to be a nuisance. Now, I think people take it on because they want attention. And I'm not saying in a bad way, some people really desperately need attention. If you never had attention as a child or you only had bad attention, then you could have this spirit. You could have taken the spirit on to get attention, to make your mother notice you, to make teachers pay attention to you, to cover up a learning disability. Do you see what I'm saying? And not realize that it's there. And you're thinking is, I'm just playing around. You're thinking is, oh, I'm just kidding. It's just who I am. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't have a real. I think God has people who are adventurous. I think Peter and Paul were very adventurous. I think God has people who are funny. The Bible is very clear that Paul had a quick wit. I believe that there's people who are very open and can hug people. And God's given them a gift to be able to minister to people by connecting with them and hugging them or swinging them around or playing with them. I believe there's a real. But the spirit of mischief is one that puts people off. And then especially in someone's case that I'm very dear to, I think it would make people feel like they don't want to offend. But there's always that thing that there's a little bit afraid that it's going to go too far, that somebody's going to get hurt. And if it's a spirit, you're constantly looking for something to do. You can never just be still. If you have a spirit of mischief, you can never just be still and know that God is all that you need. It's a constant searching for attention. And there needs to be a child in there who needs to be healed and quieted. Anything that's of the enemy you don't want, even if it seems better than what you used to have. There's a joy. There's a joy in the Lord. There's God causing real fellowship and a good time. But when the enemy comes in to counterfeit that, it's always going to have you eventually get rejected. It's going to cause some harm. And I know especially the moms of boys. In our society, it's almost laughed at or patted on the back like, oh, he's just mischievous. You know, when you watch Dennis the Menace movies and those kind of movies, I hate to tell you this, that's what you're promoting. If your kid watch Home Alone too many times, you need to know you are planting that spirit of mischief in them. There's nothing funny about hitting people with pans. And this, all the Three Stooges even has that tendency towards violence that's mischief. And I know we're stepping on toes, but you need to really pray about it, because if you have a constant struggle with overactive kids or pushing and shoving and this and that, and yet they watch nonstop this kind of stuff as entertainment, they are receiving this spirit. Do you know what I'm saying? And this is all over our society, because Satan knows if I can get them to just play around with this and get attention with this and be disruptive with this, then I can eventually get them into something much worse. And I do think guys have more of a tendency towards this. There's probably not too many people in jail, is there, Nilo, who didn't start out with this mischief thing. And they don't understand what happened. Because when you play with the devil, it snowballs. And pretty soon, it comes in to destroy you. We keep ministering to people and ministering to people. But man, if you really don't want to change, you're just going to go through some hard, hard stuff. Just going to go through some hard stuff. I will say this, you're not going to hurt our, You don't want to hurt somebody. You don't want something horrible to be set up. It's one thing to even watch, let your kids watch something maybe one time, but when it starts to be their favorite show and this and that, and you've got to stop and say, what are the values in this? What is going on here? Because this thing about mischief, let's look at the scripture. Did I read the scripture where it talked about this with iniquity? I don't think I did. Let's see how it's connected. Oh my gosh, I have somebody in this ministry's name beside it. I won't say who. Isaiah 59:4. And if everybody in here could guess who it is, and chances are that God's really trying to help this person tonight. And let me say, this isn't coming to get anything in your personality that God's placed there. He's not going to let you get rid of that. He's just going to bring that forth. Satan cannot make your personality. He can just come and put a perversion on it. And it'll end up doing the opposite of what you're thinking. Isaiah 59:4. You can be a really fun person, but if you give that thing to the enemy, he's going to use it to hurt you.